And sometimes as Christians in today's world, we're sometimes out of place because the culture in which we live isn't sure what to do with us, isn't sure how to take us. You know, we can be really spiritually minded, but be of no heavenly good.
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church. Today's scripture lesson is going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to start with the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, and then moving to the New Testament with the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the two tablets with God's words on them. His face was shining from speaking with the Lord, but he didn't know it. When Aaron and all the Israelites looked at Moses and saw his face shining, they were afraid to come near him. Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him. Then Moses spoke to them. After that, all the other Israelites came near him, and he commanded them to do everything the Lord told him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went into the Lord's presence to speak with him, he took off the veil until he came out. Whenever he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they would see that Moses' face was shining. Then Moses would put the veil back on until he went in again to speak with the Lord. Since we have confidence in the new promise, we speak very boldly. We are not like Moses. He kept covering his face with a veil. He didn't want the people of Israel to see the glory fading away. However, their minds became closed. In fact, to this day, the same veil is still there when they read the Old Testament. It isn't removed because only Christ can remove it. Yet even today, when they read the book of Moses, a veil covers their minds. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Lord's Spirit is, there is freedom. As all of us reflect the Lord's glory with faces that are not covered with veils, we are being changed into his image with ever-increasing glory. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
This morning we read from the book of Mark, beginning with chapter 2 and verse 13. We see one of those moments when Jesus is confronted by his wonderful friends, the Pharisees. Notice those words, wonderful friends, ha ha, who challenge him at nearly every turn. And it's in this story that we're reminded that we're not in charge of the guest list at the table that Jesus sits with. And thus, we're not in charge of the guest list that we sit with, of people that we're invited to be a part of. And we need to be mindful of the people that we're engaged to come along with and bring along on the journey as well. Hear these words as they come from the book of Mark, chapter 2, beginning with verse 13 to 17. Jesus went out again beside the Sea of Galilee. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call, not the righteous, but the sinners." This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to go over a couple of three definitions this morning for just a minute so that we're clear about language. The subject of this morning's sermon is be real, not religious. So I think we need to have some clarity about some of those words. First of all, real, not artificial. Real means not artificial or fraudulent or something that we see and imagine. Let's say real gold, if you will. Or reaching to or relating to practical everyday concerns or activities that we leave school to come out and live in the real world. You know, we live in sort of a fantasy land when we're in school about how life's going to be, but when we get out into the real world, do we not have a wake-up call suddenly? Life isn't what we thought it might be. We find a real wake-up. Religious. Thought back to those days when I worked in the addictions unit and I was the one charged with teaching the class on religion versus spirituality. And it came to my mind as I was teaching that I realized that people didn't understand that there really was a difference between religion and spirituality. Those two are not mutually exclusive. Religion is how we practice our faith. What are the rules that we set for ourselves, or what are the rules that are set for us in that religious practice? Spirituality, on the other hand, is what do we identify as that greater image, that greater person, that greater idea that brings everything together. And for me, then, when I think about religion, religion is that choice that I make to say I'm going to belong to the United Methodist Church because that best affirms what I understand in my faith about an understanding about who Jesus and who God is. That's for me. Maybe different for you, but that's how I take religion and spirituality and tie those together. But they're two very distinct pieces. Authentic. Authentic is being worthy of acceptance of or a belief that's conforming to or based on plain facts. Seeing things for just as they are. That person is who they are. They're real. They're not pretenses. They're not made up. They're not one thing one place and something else another. So keep those words in your mind this morning as we go forward this morning. Now there's that good guy Moses that we've talked about over the years in church who was picked up out of Moses, out of his shepherd and became the leader and brought those folks out of the Israelites and then went up to the mountain and was in the presence of God and saw God and came down with a vision and an appearance that changed. And so in order to protect that vision, he began to wear a veil when he was with other people. But then when he was with God, he didn't wear the veil. It's a reminder to us that we don't need a veil, however. If we are who we are, and if we are in our right relationship with God, we don't need a veil. Because our light, the light of God, should emanate from us wherever we are. And a veil should not hide that image. We should be open and present to those that we see and those with whom we engage. Well, we've been talking about what does it mean to be a missional church? Real and authentic or wildly out of place? Let me remind you of a little song, and perhaps you'll remember this. I'm going to attempt to do this justice. Lester Flatt wrote this in The Final Order. You can sing along if you wish. Remember the story. Come listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting up some food, and up through the ground came some bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. A wonderful family. They didn't fit, however, in Beverly Hills, did they? Didn't impress the banker and his wife when the possums and the all kinds of critters came wandering over from the Clampett household and made their way into the banker's household. Ah! But they were just trying to be who they were in Beverly Hills, and they were very, very out of place, were they not? And sometimes as Christians in today's world, we're sometimes out of place as well because the culture in which we live isn't sure what to do with us, isn't sure how to take us. You know, we can be really spiritually minded, but be of no heavenly good. Now, how about Jesus? Real, authentic, or wildly out of place? Hopefully for everyone in this room, he is real and authentic. But for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and even for some of the folks who were living in that day, they found him wildly out of place. He didn't come expecting, and he didn't come bringing what they thought he was going to have. They were expecting a king, you remember? They were expecting someone who would come in and would fight and ride white horses and restore order to their government. That wasn't at all what Jesus was about. That wasn't at all what God had in mind for him. You see, if we're real in the Christian church, we can expect that there'll be change. If we're real in the church, we can expect that there will be change. But if we're merely religious, following the rules, change likely will not occur. You see, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus being real, but they especially did not like his being unreligious. Because you see, every time he invited and sat down with tax collectors and with sinners, he was unclean to them, and that just wasn't in order for them. That wasn't right. He shouldn't be hanging out with those people. He shouldn't be hanging out with harlots. He shouldn't be hanging out with prostitutes. He hung out with the very people in society that the Pharisees found most unholy and unreligious. He said to them, he said he was willing to defile himself because he said, I'm not here to help the spiritually well off. But I'm rather here to help those who are sin sick and need compassion and need connection and to know that they're loved by God more than anyone else, as much as anyone else is. As we continue these next few weeks to talk about missional church, we're going to turn now and look at what does it mean to be real and authentic, as opposed to living in pretense and sharing with others, though, in compassion and cooperation and living in loving space. People have a hunger these days for authenticity. They don't want us to live. That's why people don't come to church. The church has ceased to be authentic in some respects. And if I'm stepping on toes this morning, I'm sorry. The pastor's job is to meddle and to be critical at times, but to also be compassionate at the right time. So if I'm stepping on toes, I might say I'll apologize, but I won't. You see, we need the church to be authentic. We need this church to be authentic, and we need every other church that calls themselves the Church of Jesus Christ to be authentic and to be real before people. We need to help them to be authentic in their relationships with God, in their relationships with people, in their relationships with spirituality. People are looking for a place that is not too religious and has too little spirituality. When we find that balance, when we find a place where there is a reality that can give meaning to the whole of life, my prayer for your friend is that he'll find that meaning for his whole life at some point or another. For that meaning to the whole of life is our intimate relationship with God. Is your relationship with God an intimate one? Are you on a one-to-one basis with God? Do you sit down with him and have conversation with him, and he knows your heart and you know his heart? That's the beginning of being in relationship with God. So what does it mean to be real and to be authentic? Well, there are three things. First, to be authentic in the faith. Spirituality, as I said, is more than just religious practices. We have to first understand who is that being that grounds us and calls us into relationship. Hopefully it's God. Hopefully it's Jesus Christ. Hopefully it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And then we have to begin to bring that authentic process into all of our relationships. Being real, being authentic, being present with people. Being there when you're with them, listening to what they have to say, listening to not just what comes out of their mouth, but listening to their heart, listening to their action, listening to their body language, because that sometimes speaks way more than what comes out of our mouth at times. Authenticity is being in the presence of God, being in prayer with God, being in conversation with God. Today I was in Winchester with a quarterly meeting of A Better Life, Brianna's Hope. And it was interesting, as we went around the room, I realized just how large Brianna's Hope has become. We'll soon have a chapter way up in Dyer, Indiana. We're opening a chapter in Mexico, Indiana. We're soon opening a chapter in Matthews. We'll have two in Grant County. But to hear people talk about people coming to ABLH meeting, and that's the best day of their life. The best day of their week, when they come and they know that they're going to be loved by people who understand their struggle, understand that they're overcoming the disease, overcoming the process of addiction and becoming whole. And there are no pretenses. There aren't any rules. There isn't any structure. Simply saying, how are you today? And God loves you. ABLH is very much a spiritual-based program. We talk very openly about Scripture. We talk very openly about the fact that God loves them. It's not that they've sinned. It's not that they're condemned. But God loves them as they are. I'm glad that we have a chapter of ABLH in our community. It's not growing by leaps and bounds, but it's growing incrementally. And sometimes that's what's most important. As I said when we started, if we only help one person, and we're real and we're authentic with that individual, we've done all that can be expected of us. But I don't expect that to be the case. I don't expect that to be the case. We need to love people where they are, ask questions of them, answer questions of them in what they can hear and understand. So being authentic with faith, then we have to be authentic with one another. So we have to share in community with one another. What does that look like? Let me remind you of something. In Acts, these words are recorded. The early Christians devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And amazing awe came upon everyone because that many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. As they encountered that body of believers who were sharing together, not only at the table, but sharing in what they had, sharing in the possessions they had. You need something? Here, I'll give it to you. living in cooperation together. Everything that's yours is mine, because you see, everything that we have, my friends, really doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. It's just ours. It's just on loan to us. So why not share it with somebody else? And then we begin to open those doors of places that have been closed by barriers. Barriers because of prejudice, barriers because of fear, barriers because there have been divides that I can't let you in here because you're not like me, or you don't do this, or you don't do that, and so you can't come in. Or you're not the right color, or you're not the right this, or you're not the right that. You fill in the blank. But we have those places in our society, even today, where we make the judgments, we make comments about things that really aren't ours to make comments about. And we mustn't do that, because if we're going to live in an authentic, real relationship with one another, we have to put those barriers aside. We may disagree with them, but that doesn't mean we can shut them out and put them aside. And then there should be room for mistakes. Anybody here made a mistake recently? We all have. But sometimes in the church, we don't leave room for those. Yep. You sinned, out the door you go. Out the door you go. And that's not the church we should be in. We've all sinned. We all sin and stand in the need of grace. Even once we say, yes, Lord, you are mine, we're still going to be sinful. We're human beings. We have a condition. We have a human condition called sin. And we have to leave room in the family of God for mistakes and be willing to say, I understand, I forgive. Hey, some of this is kind of meh. It's kind of tough because it's not maybe the way we've lived, is it? But we've got to start looking that way. We've got to start living that way, because that's what the world needs to see and experience. There are lots of hurting people sitting out there in the street today that if they all decide to come to church next week, we'd have more than enough room, and there'd be more than enough room for all of them in all the churches in Van Buren. But we have to be willing to go out and be authentic and be real and let there be room for mistake. Let there be room for, I didn't know that that was how it went. You know, when you're a Christian, when you say to Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, does that mean you suddenly know what all the rules are? No. Or what all the direction is, or what the expectation is? No. So we're going to have mistakes among early Christians. They're going to mess up. But it's our job to lovingly, compassionately say, maybe we ought to look at that a different way. Think about doing it a different way and help them to see a different way of doing things. Because some folks don't know that that's not the right way, or that it isn't getting them anywhere. Some folks have been doing what they've been doing for hundreds of years and they don't know any better. And so our job is to lovingly, cooperatively, compassionately help them see their way into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lastly, in order to be authentic, there's some things we need to do. We have to love one another. And that's tough, isn't it? There's just some folks out there that it's just hard to love them. They're just nasty. They're obnoxious. They're rude. They're just not who we are. But you see, they were created by the same God that you and I were created by. We're asked to love. We're asked to love them. We need to be devoted to serving one another's interests. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I help you? Spend time with one another, greeting and being hospitable with one another. You know, I don't think it's any mistake that this church gets a reputation for being friendly. You folks go out of your way to be hospitable when we say, let's stand up and greet one another. It's almost like a train wreck, you all trying to get to one another on Sunday morning. You're running into each other and running over aisles to get to one another. But that's a good thing. Let's hope it doesn't stop when you go out the door, that you're as willing to greet and be hospitable to people out there as you are in here. Allow others to be imperfect. That goes back to that making mistakes. Being patient, being accepting, being forgiving, and waiting with them, waiting for them to come around to a new excitement and a new life. Building one another up. It doesn't do any good for us to tear one another apart. That only creates lack of self-esteem and creates depression and creates all kinds of stuff. But when we build one another up with good words and encourage them, they're going to succeed by leaps and bounds. Having a gentle heart toward others in difficulty, caring and comforting and being kind and being compassionate. And lastly, being in unity with one another and being of the same mind. We might still have disagreements, but when we say we're going to do something, we do it and we agree to do it, and everybody does it together. And we say, I may not like that, but that's what we agreed to do, so I'm going to do it. The last part of being authentic is being authentic in the world. How we treat one another here, how we treat one another in this room ought to be the same as we treat people outside the door. If we're not treating one another nice here, then we need to re-examine ourselves before we head out to meet the world. The Beverly Hillbillies were trying hard to live out their Black Hills lives in Beverly Hills, but those two cultures did not match. They were not authentic. As Christians, we live in a world that is very different from the world of discipleship and living in the world. We must be willing to engage transformation and influence the world for Christ. Will you be real in your faith, in your relationship with God and with others, so that they may experience the change and transformation that only can come in a relationship with Jesus Christ? We should not live so as to be the laughing stock of the kingdom. Oh, look at those Christians from the Van Buren Methodist Church. They go in there and they worship on Sunday morning, but when they come out, they do something entirely different. Let us not be that laughing stock of the world. The missional church, my friends, again, is sent by Christ to continue the mission of God and to bring Him glory at all times and at all places. Jesus was living in another culture as well. He was invited into the homes of tax collectors, sinners. They didn't always understand Him, yet many of them chose to be His followers. They chose to have their lives changed forever. Jesus modeled being real but not religious. The religious was insulted. The religion wasn't resulted in His death, that you and I might be able to continue the mission of real and authentic discipleship. My question for you this morning is, will you choose to be real in your relationships, authentic in being with others, and real in your relationship with Christ? For the church to survive, we must be authentic, have spiritual and relational vitality for the church to move forward and be the church of the 21st century. Amen. Lord, we want to be more like You. We want to be more holy. We want to be more loving. We want to be a Christian in our heart. Being a Christian in our heart means we have to let go of the rules. We have to let go of the boundaries. We have to let go of the divisiveness that keeps us from reaching out and being in relationship with You and with others. Continue to help us to find that person that You want us to walk beside and to bring them along in the Christian journey. They might come to a real and authentic relationship with You as You desire to have with us. And as we do that, that we might be the church that is out in the world, out in the streets of Van Buren, reaching out to those who need compassion, who need help, who need cooperation, and who need love. We ask and we pray this, that we might be there and we might do those things as we go out this week. Help us to be real. Help us to be authentic. Help us to be compassionate, cooperative, and loving. As we go out into the world from this service this day, we ask all of this in Your name we pray. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren. Or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.